Welcome to our monthly Utah IONS meeting. I'm Martin Tanner, board chair. With me is Craig Miller, who's also on our board of trustees. We're pleased to see you at our monthly meeting by Zoom. And this month we have a wonderful speaker. Before she's introduced to you by Craig, I wanted to tell you briefly about IONS of Utah, which is one of the oldest IONS groups in existence. We informally formed in the late 1980s and were incorporated in 1990. So we've been around for over 30 years now. If you have any questions about IONS or its goals, we invite you to be in touch with us. The main purposes of IONS are to help people who have had a near-death experience and are having difficulty understanding it. Also, people who have a loved one who may have passed away or who is in the process of dying for whatever reason. And we have great resources for that and are happy to help you in any way possible. So please be in touch with me or with Craig. My personal email is martinstanner@gmail.com if you'd like to be in touch with me. And I'll leave it for Craig to provide his as well. Thank you for joining us. IONS is a wonderful organization, national in its scope, international in its scope in many ways, and has touched many lives. I'll turn the time over now to Craig for our speaker introduction, with the caveat that at the end we'll have some questions that will be presented. And so that might give you the opportunity to hear some additional details about this wonderful experience. Craig.
Like Martin said, you're in for a treat today. Hilla Baruch is an exceptional individual, and she had her experience indicates that in some way she was selected by heaven to have all these things happen. She had a biopsy and or a small operation that shouldn't have caused any problem, but she bled to death as a result. And her life is completely turned upside down. Her profession as a lawyer in Israel is something that she gave up. She's starting something new. And she's starting an IONS group out there to help other people who have had experiences like herself. So without taking any more time, let me turn the time over to Hilla Baruch.
Hi, hello everyone. I'm very excited, and it's a huge honor for me to share with you my experience, what I've been through. Before we start, I just want to say sorry if my English is not so current, but you know, after my NDE, I know that we are beyond time and space. So if I'm mixing with present simple progressive, we don't need it. I just need your listening heart. And I know that's enough, and it's cross any language. So I will start, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my experience and this information, which is not mine. So I will let you know a little bit before my NDE. Who I was, what I did. Today I'm 37. My NDE was 6.5 years ago. And before my NDE, I was, I'm from 2008, a lawyer, a civil rights lawyer, labor rights, and I used to represent also cooperates. And I was looking for myself in this legal area, and I felt that this is not where I am supposed to be. That's why I was transferred from civil rights to labor rights, and I was a litigator at the courtroom, and it was a big influence of my personality, how I act, how I respond to people, and also let's talk about ego. It was like a costume that I put on myself, and I thought that this costume is me. And I got almost to one with that costume, because I'm saying almost because there is something that was bubbling inside of me all this time, and questions about this life since I was a child. And my occupation didn't make me to forget those questions. It just made me ask much more. And let's begin with my ND experience. I rushed to the hospital after I bled internally in my stomach. And I was like a few meters from the operation room, and I couldn't believe that I'm going to die. I fainted, I collapsed, and I heard all the doctors and the medical staff. They thought that I'm not in conscience, but I heard everything, and they said that this girl is going to die. And I thought to myself, oh my God, no, it's not going to happen. I'm only 30 years old. Well, I experienced things in life, but this is life. This is the purpose. Like, I filled my purpose, my destiny. That's life. And when I ask this question, I get an answer inside of me, not something outside. And this answer was like an earthquake inside of me, and it was a big no. So in that moment, I knew that I'm going to die, and I didn't did what I had to do, which I don't know what is that. And if I was panicked before, now I get horrified. I started to yell in my heart that I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. I never felt how much I want to live until that moment. And what happened is that the doctor, Dr. Bruchim, who was my angel, he put his hand on my cheek, and I opened my eyes, and suddenly all the fear, all the panic that I was, everything disappeared, and there was a glowing mist around him, and he was so beautiful and light, with light. And suddenly I felt that everything is going to be okay. I don't know if I'm going to live or die, but everything is going to be okay. And he said, we will do everything to save your life. Probably we will have to check organs, and you will be connected to machines after that, but we will do everything, and this is emergency operation. And I just wanted to tell him, call to my mama, because I just need to tell her before that everything is going to be all right. He didn't want to, because he said there is no time, but I couldn't accept that. I yelled, mama, mama, and he said, bring her back. And we separated, but before I told her, mama, everything is going to be okay. And she said, yes, like she's trying to convince herself. But I told her, mama, everything is going to be okay. I didn't know if I'm going to live or I'm going to die, but I knew that no matter what, here or there, everything is going to be okay. They rushed me to the operation room, and I got back into that, and suddenly I started to say a chapter of Psalms. And this chapter was spoken through me. I never felt how easy to be the pure meaning of the words. I never felt that. I didn't even feel that I'm speaking before, 24 hours before. They didn't know what's happening to me at the hospital. And it took them time to understand that I lost almost all the blood of my in my body, I just felt that a pure meaning. And as a lawyer that's dealing always with words, I never felt how is it to be just a pure meaning. And it was so beautiful and pure. And I felt so good with that. And after that, I said, Shema Israel in Hebrew, it means, Hear, O Israel, the Lord of our God, the Lord is one. And I closed my eyes because I saw that all the medical staff were in panicked, like running, and they all thought I'm going to die. And the world that I had in my head was chaos. So I closed my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I saw my three of my family, people from my family, a relative who died. My grandmother was in front of me. She was inside, she was inside of a flame, and she was like standing inside the flame like that, like a guardian, and like, tell me everything is okay. And my two other cousins who died, and it was my grandmother Miriam, Naomi and Miriam, they were next to me and around me actually. And I felt so good that they're with me. I felt confident. I still didn't know what's going to happen. I just knew that everything is okay. And I never felt such, I don't know how to call it. It's more than pleasure. It's like a peaceful feeling and happiness. And I told my grandmother and to my cousins, I'm so happy that you are here with me. And I told my grandmother that if I'm going to live, I want to stay complete with all my organs. I want to be a mother in the future. The doctor came to me. He put his hand on my head and he said, we will do everything to save your life. When he touched my head, I felt all the particles in his hand through my head, inside my head, but the meaning and the pure and the mercy and the all life that he saved through this hand who touched my hand. And I felt this is crossing everything that I have. It's inside of me. And I felt all this mercy. And it was for me like, wow, this is so good. And I felt that he took responsibility on me, like I'm his child. And I felt so much love to him. And I wanted to tell him, I'm okay. But it was weird because his nose was so close to mine that if I do like that, I'm touching his nose. So I thought to myself, this is so weird. This is so close to me. I didn't understand yet that I'm above my body. I'm not completely outside my body, but I'm above. I'm feeling my body, but I'm feeling my soul. Then I felt tinglings that goes from my toes up to my head with currents, and these currents were currents of love. How I will explain this love and these currents? It's not like electricity, even though that you can find it like that, but let's say that this love, if you can take the essence of every love that mom had to her children in the past, now, and in the future, all the mothers, and you take it, this essence, and you put it to a bottle and you inject it to your body, it's still not getting close to the love that I felt. And when it happened, I felt so full, so good. I felt like the universe is hugging me. And this all tingles, everything got to my head. And I felt that my head is the planet Earth. And for me, it was, wow, like a child who sees things that he never saw before and he's so excited and so curious. And I felt that everything is in my head. The stones, the trees, the sky, people, babies, laughing, even crying, the sea, the buildings, everything is one. All these details makes one, and this all oneness is here. This planet is here in my head, and I felt this life. And there is so much life. And I was amazed by that. And I was amazed, but it was natural. I felt, wow, this is all in here. There is nothing outside. But then from this beautiful place, I started to feel irritating noise. It wasn't nice noise. It was something that is, it felt like it's painful, like in my body. I can't contain that. And it felt that even the space is changing, because I saw the movement of the medical staff, like smeared. And I saw that, and with this noise, I couldn't, it was too much. And I, inside of me, I yelled, please, please stop it, stop it. And what happened after is that I hatched, but I hatched from the core of every cell of my body, outside my body, with a swing to the ceiling, and I floated there. And in that moment, I felt, oh my God, I'm home. I got back home. And if I told you the example or the metaphor about the love that I felt before and in my head and with the tinglings and everything, now it was bigger, unlimited, not only to this planet, to all the worlds and dimensions. I felt this huge love that I never felt before. I felt like all the skies, the stars, the universe, everything is hugging me. And I felt that I'm home. I felt the particles around me love me, but this is not something who is separated from me. This is a part of me. And I saw that there is one breathing, and I am like one particle who is, there is an entity who is breathing and thinking me. And I am like the earth that you take in and out in a balloon, that the air can say there is somebody who is blowing. So I felt this oneness breathing of all the universe. And in every breath I got out to the sky and to the space, and I got in. But it's not that I got out. I was there all the time and there all the time. And it was beautiful. It was, I never felt peaceful, and I got all the answers of my questions that I held inside of me all of my life. Like, what is the purpose of life? Why are we coming back to this life? There is a lot of evil things, and also people. That's how I felt before Mandy. And so what's the purpose? And if we are dying and we're doing so much and trying, so what's going on? And is there a God? Or this is something urban that people talk and trying to hold. Is this real? What is this reality? And what I'm doing here? Since I was a child, I felt that I have a mission and I didn't know what is this, that mission. And I used to dance and sing. I was a dancer for 14 years and I loved artistic things, but I felt that God gave me skills that I need to do with them something. And these skills with talking, maybe I can help people with going to the court and make justice and help people with that and do something meaningful in this life. But I found out that there is no justice. And so what I'm doing here, and as long as my life continued, my questions got bigger and deeper. And I felt maybe outside, according to the metrics, I was successful. But inside of me, I didn't felt like that at all. I felt that there is a huge misunderstood of my being. And I couldn't accomplish with that. And I didn't felt successful, but inside of me. So when I'm outside the body, I'm getting all those answers. It was like a drops of a rain. It was together there. It was unlimited with no limits. And I felt that I need to go up. And but before, I heard all the thoughts of the medical stuff around me, and I saw my body. He was like dancing there, and I wasn't feeling connected. I felt grateful, like like it's a coach who warned me on the darkness and cold nights. But this is not me. Here I am. And I tried to tell the doctors, look, I'm okay. Everything is okay. Suddenly, everything that felt for me as a chaos became like a symphony. I saw the influence, the connection of everything. Why I left with the blood vessel open? Why it happened to that doctor? Why even at the hospital when I rushed after 3 weeks of bleeding internally, they didn't notice that I'm bleeding, and they confused between my blood test and other woman blood test. Why it happened? And that doctor, this angel, he is angry about the doctor, the younger doctor that's in private hospital, that made the first operation with the blood vessel open. And in that moment, I knew that he is angry about him because he trained him. And in that moment that he's thinking about him, I was launched to a cabin in the north in a vacation that he is there with his wife. And I saw him like taking his phone, looking at the phone, see all my phone calls, see all the hospital phone calls and doesn't answer. And I wasn't angry. I understood him. I understood what's going on between him and his wife, why he's not supposed to answer those phone calls to rescue his marriage. And I went back, launched back to the hospital, and I went to my mom. And I saw her like holding her head, trying to pray, but she couldn't. She tried, and then she is like that, and oh my God, I hear all her feelings and thoughts, and she feel, oh my God, they told me my daughter might die, and no, she couldn't, she was in shock. And I'm there, and I'm trying to tell her, Mama, everything is okay. I'm more than okay, I'm good. I feel so good. Mom, I'm home. But she wasn't happy for me because she didn't hear me. And I was so happy for me, but I want her to know that. So I got back and I knew that when I'm getting back to the surgery room, I'm going to the other world with my aunts and my grandmother. I didn't feel any feelings like bad feelings, only good feelings. It's like I'm waiting for the train and the train came and I'm going up to the train. This is everything. It's like in order. It was beautiful to be aware to this order. So I went, we started to flew up through walls, of course, through everything, up from the hospital. And the next thing that I remember is that I'm in a void, in a world that has no beginning and no end. There is no end. And the dark darkness is thick, very thick. It's like mud. It's like a mud. Like you can move it with your hand. Like the ocean seems to be very pure. Like compared to that, it was like so thick and heavy, and I was like floating there, and it's dark much more than any darkness that we can imagine. It's more than color. It's about a gap between me and myself, between, which means between my soul and my soul, which means my spiritual potential of my soul, and how I was expressed, or my false identity in this world. So these two identities that I felt in the same moment, and this huge gap between them, it was like that I didn't express all the things that I got skills that I made from them, like it's my natural talents, and this is not mine. It's like a loan that you got, and you need to do with that something. And suddenly I saw that I took those things to, not to the right things. It was like, I thought this is me. This is my power. There is nothing but me, and I am the one who make it or make things happen. And this lie compared to feeling the soul, the truth of the soul, like intense without any veil, it was so huge that it wasn't easy for me. And I thought that, oh my God, I'm going to stay forever in this darkness world. I am not ready to stay here. Like I felt that I can't be here. And meanwhile, I see what's going on in the operation room. I'm sorry. In the operation room. And I see that they're bringing more and more blood units because of all the blood I lost. And in the other world, the world up to me, there is like a house, there is a house of judgment. And I feel that there is a fight, like people that also from my family, they're fighting on me and they talk about me. And I hear that and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I want to go there and I want to explain that I want to go back to life and I want to fix, I want to change. Now I know, let me go back and change it. And I ask for help. I want to go out. I want to go there. Bring me there, please. When I asked that, I saw it felt so far away, like we are watching the stars. I saw a golden spot and I got immersed with that spot, but it was like a huge world. And when I got into that, the feeling was, it's like, just don't take me as the world, take this as a metaphor. It's like you have a shower of mercy. And I got to the house of mercy. In Israel, they call it the house of judgment. And I've been in a lot of judgments in the courtroom as a lawyer. And I'm telling you, it's not getting close to that, even not in 1%. It's all mercy and love. And they all understood me. They all felt me. They all felt, wow, we can understand her. There was no judgment. And I was there, and there were three rabbis in front of me. And one of them tell me what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. But in that moment, I wanted to go there to say that I want to go back to life to fix and change. When I got out from the darkness world, there was no option for me. I'm not going back. I just want to go upstairs. There are up to that world from the house of mercy. There were like worlds in multiplies of 10. And every world was according to the level of consciousness that souls got out from their bodies. And I want to go there, but they told me, the rabbis in front of me, they told me, this is not your time. So they showed me my life. I had a life review. And in my life review, it was profound, and only about it I can talk a lot, because there is so much insights and learning from that. But I will focus on one thing, that I felt that I am also the spectator who is watching my life. And during that, I'm every actor. I felt how easy to be in everybody's shoes. And also, if I hurt somebody, I felt what I did to him. And I wasn't judging myself. I've been shown that I've been shown that I was judging me and other people during my life, but I felt shame because I had nothing to say. I just had, the only thing I had to say is, this is not me. Because when I was a lawyer, I had so many things to say in the courtroom, but here, the only thing that I had to say that was the truth, it wasn't me, it was the costume, but this is me. But still, I didn't want to come back. And after that, the other rabbis, they told me, okay, if you don't want to come back, you're not going up. This is not your time. You will be in other dimension a while, even there, that there is no time. So, but you will be a while, and then you will reborn, reincarnate in a new body, new family, and you will go through everything you went through your life. You will go through that again. So for me, there was no option for that too. And so I didn't want that. So I've been shown my funeral. And even then, when I saw how people around me and my family will affected from my death, I felt that I suffered enough in this life, and I'm not ready to come back. I couldn't agree with that. And it was like, seriously, I woke up from that dream and now you want to bring me back? No, I can't. It's not like that I was rude. It just, I couldn't accept that. But then I was shown the future. And when I saw the future, which I don't talk about it because I don't remember, this is the part that I came back and I don't remember. I said, yes, I will. And I will come back. And I promised three things. The first thing is that I will get back to myself, to my heart. And the other thing is that I will use the skills that I have. I will use the skill that I got. It's not a talent, it's skills. I will use it to spread the light and not to fight with the darkness like I did, which was very exhausting. And the last thing was promise is to tell this experience, what happened to me. I'm sorry. And I felt that, okay, only for that, I'm ready after seeing my future. I'm ready to come back. And I got, the scream went down. And I said, okay. And the rabbi who was in front of me, he said, I trust you. And he, like, his hand was like that. And he did that. And when he did that, he was like changing my I'm sorry, personality from being judgmental to myself and people around me to compassion, to mercy. I'm sorry, that I will get to this, down to this earthly life with the right inner eyes. And I got into the screen. And when I got into the screen, I was in a light, white world. This world was the darkness world. And which means that there is, for real, there is no darkness. There is nothing like that. And the darkness is included from in the light. And there was a female soul who was escorting me down to earth. And she asked me if I want to take off my shoes, because after this world, I opened the door and we got to a world, endless world, only sky. There is nothing but sky. But from this world, we got down in a rope ladder. I'm sorry. And to this planet. And she asked me, do you want to take off your shoes? And I said, no. Well, I had no body. So what she asked, it wasn't shoes, like real shoes. It was all the things that locked me, all the patterns, all the bad habits. And she was, you can go back without them. But my soul chose to go back with them and to fix it and to go this process by my own without getting present, without doing anything. I want to experience and do now that I know what I need to do. And I got, this is what I knew, but I didn't know what exactly I need to do. I got forgotten the future that I've been shown immediately when I got to the other white world. So we went down and we got to this earth planet, to the ocean. And when we got there, there were only three steps that I had to do, and then I had to jump to the ocean. But then I got panicked again, like, what? I'm not going to be here. How am I going to live here? Like, I wasn't ready for that. It felt like I agreed to come back, but I didn't want to. And I started to go back. I was panicked. I couldn't believe, like, how am I going to live here right now? I started to go back But this soul who escorted me, and she was loving soul. She understood me, and she said, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? Don't you remember what you promised?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember, but I want to go home. I want to be with my family." And she said, "Remember, there is a navy of souls and angels that with you all the time. You are never alone. And you have a mission. You need to go back. You know that." And every objection that I had, she gave me an answer. The answer that I already knew, but I couldn't contain me coming back to this dream. And then I said, "But I cannot be here. Like, there is a veil. There is concealment. I can't be here without feeling this love and feeling this separation. How? What will I do? How can I be here?" And she said, "Remember that this veil, this concealment, made of love too. And because of this veil, you can practice. You can try things in this life. You can experience things in your life. So, and this veil, he is made of love. Remember that." And I knew that, but I needed like something like that, what she gave me. And then I said, "Okay, I don't know where to swim, what direction?" And she said, "Jump, you will know." So I did that, and I started to swim. And when I started to swim, I felt after time that I cannot continue. I had no power, and I felt, okay, I can't swim anymore. Is it normal that I'm going back to die, to drowning? Like, I want to go back home, but not like that. So, and then I thought to myself, okay, just ask for help. You're not alone. And I ask help here in my heart. This is the importance of praying also. And immediately there, I felt there is a bubbling like in the ground of the ocean. And suddenly a lot, like it felt like millions of fish with amazing colors, the incredible colors that I never seen in my life, like living colors with emotions, and I don't know how to explain it. And they were pushed me with their movement, and came a big whale who held my heels, and half body was inside the water and half was outside. And suddenly I felt again like embryo in a womb, like it was in the darkness world, like a baby who didn't express himself. But now it felt like I'm going out from the womb, like a new baby. And I got to the shore and I looked back and I said, "Thank you to the fish, to the whale, to God." And I saw a little shed, and I got into that. It was on the shore. I got into that and I saw my grandpa, and I started to cry like crazy, like, "Grandpa, what am I going to do here?" And I was panicked again and horrified, like, "What am I supposed to do here? And I don't know what, how can I live here again after that?" And he said, "Just start to walk and you will find out you are never alone." And then he said that he needs to go. And I was so respectful for that, like he got the permission to come back. And I got out of this room, and I skip a few details that have a meaning, but it can take a long time to tell it. So I'm skipping a few details, and I got out of this room, and it vanished. And when it vanished, I saw myself alone in the shore, and suddenly I'm waking up in the hospital after the operation. I'm opening my eyes. I see my mom and I hear, "You are complete." And I am happy that there was no organs, everything. There was so much, many miracles that happened to me. I was so happy and I got back to sleep. And apparently that I woke up again and my mom told me, "How do you know that you're complete?" And I said, "You told me when I woke up." And she said, "No, I didn't say. You woke up and you smiled and then you went to sleep again." And I remembered that, oh yeah, it wasn't my mom. She her mouth didn't move. I heard that voice inside of me, and this voice was the voice of the soul who escorted me to this life. And of course, I was in high. I felt happiness. I felt so much grateful. I love everyone. I wanted to go to the oncology departments in the hospital and hug everyone and yell in the streets and tell everyone, "There is no death. It's all love. We came from love." And my parents sat next to me and I told them, "Mom, Dad, there is no death. It's all about love. We came from love. We are love and we come back to love. Do you know? And this is so amazing. Like how I pushed this body, it's like take an envelope paper and try to put the ocean in this paper. This is insane. It's a miracle. How I pushed into this body, you know?" And my parents looked at me like I'm crazy. And actually, not only them, people around me too. So I started to understand that I need to think who I'm telling that, because it's influenced me how people look and people think I got crazy, something wrong with her. And even a social worker, she came to me and she said, "You have a problem. I came to help you." And I said, "Yeah, what's the problem?" And I felt so happy. And she said, "Look, you're happy." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "This is post-trauma." And I laughed so much because I thought to myself, oh my God, if I'm going to tell her what happened to me, for sure she will think I'm crazy. If now she thinks that I'm crazy because I'm so happy and I'm singing at the hospital and everything. So I rather not to talk. I will get back home. I will write it down, everything. And then I know it's going to be the journey of my life. First thing that I'm going to do is just, I need to write it down and I'm going to start a new journey with my destiny. I didn't know what's going to happen. What will I do? I just knew that I'm going to start a new life. And this is my ND experience, in the most tiny, tiny way for me to express and to tell it in a small, short time. And thank you for listening. I can share with you a few things if you want to ask questions.
We definitely have questions. That was wonderful. Thank you so very much. That's wonderful. And I know you only had time to share just the highlights of what happened to you, but thank you so very much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Let's go through a few of the questions that we had here. In your description about the next life, you mentioned the word eternal, and I've also seen that in a few of your YouTube presentations of your experience. When you use the word eternal, what are you trying to convey? Something that's forever or without end or heavenly? Help us understand what you experienced.
Well, using words with explaining or trying to explain this experience, it can be dangerous because people can stuck in the metaphor and not the meaning. And something which is internal, like there is no material that was, that it's all about dimensions in our consciousness. And what is internal? We are beyond time, space. Everything, when I was outside my body, everything that I want, like wanting something, it's not that my feelings and thoughts were separate than me. Wanting something immediately launched me to a place. So our consciousness is so unique and there is no boundaries. This is eternal. There is no death. It's living. But what is eternal in this life that we are taking with us when we go out? Because when I went out of my body, I didn't took my lawyer license. It wasn't there for me, okay? And it wasn't even things that I love to do, but things that were things that were qualities of the soul. Like there is the DNA of the soul. There is connection between mercy, wisdom, but the wisdom that light the world, that make us be connected to our soul, to give people, to be with a listening heart, to think others, and to make sure that nobody around me will be sad or without food, or you know, this is what's eternally eternity. This what is the DNA of our soul, all the details of the concept love, and from that everything goes down. And as much as we are getting to the thick world, it feels like this is temporary, but internal is not the opposite of temporary. It sounds like, but it's not. It's something that's always there, never stop, change form maybe sometimes, but it's never end. The learning process also never ends. We came to learn about love, and we learned about love from what is not love also. We need the black platform to see the light. And then we found out, we're here to remember, and this is internal, what we gain through this process in this earthly life. But we learn all the time. This is also eternal. So what's eternal? It's all the qualities that connected to the concept of love.
Let me follow up with a couple of questions. So one of those is, are you saying that we have opposites in this life, you know, good and evil, light and darkness, and from that we help, it helps us to learn and to understand how good the good is, because without the evil, you wouldn't really see how good the good is. Is that the sense of what you're conveying?
If you take the candle and you put it outside when the sun is rising, with a candle, you won't be able to see the light of the candle, okay? But if there is darkness right now, and you go out with the candle, you can see the light of the candle. So how can we reveal the light of our soul? So we can say, oh, I had trouble life. And me, I didn't want to go back to my life. I felt I suffered enough. But it was a beautiful black platform to see from what is not love, what is love. And this is eternal. Yes.
another comment that you expressed, I wanted to follow up with, is that thoughts seem to have great power. You could think of a place and you would go there. You would want to know something and you had access to knowledge. Is there a greater power of thought on the other side based on your experience?
Yeah, I felt that I'm being thought, that I'm being, like, as I told, like there is entity who is breathing me, that I'm asking something, I'm getting the answer. I felt that this entity or power, unlimited power, loving me and understand me and wants the only the good for me. And it made me to understand much more about, actually about love that I didn't understand before. I was much more mind because also my occupation. So definitely I know that if before I wanted to believe that there is continue after death or that there is God, now there is, it's not about a belief, it's about knowing. And you don't need to have NDE to know. You just need to know what's the road to connect to your soul. And it's there for all of us.
Wonderful, thank you. Another follow-up, and this is a totally unrelated subject. You were talking about your woman who was guiding you back to Earth. And you had this comment about shoes. And immediately what popped into my mind was this very old Jewish tradition that it's mentioned several times in the Old Testament, that if someone traveled outside of the land of Israel, when they came back, they would clean the dust or the dirt off from their shoes, not because it was something bad, but it was an act to clean themselves to go back to a holy place. Is there something like that with the shoe? I'm trying to understand what was going on with the shoe comment. That was really interesting. I've not heard that before in an NDE.
Well, actually, there is a lot of people who came back, like people that are Jew around the world and got when they in 48 and they raised Israel and everything. So when right. There is around the world from Paris, USA, from Yemen, my grandparents and grandmothers from Yemen. So those places, when they came, they were like kissing the land. It was about waiting to get to the Holy Land, but it's different. What about what you ask, the real answer is that in Hebrew, the letters, if you change the order of the letter, you actually get the opposite meaning of the other word. So, and you get other meanings that with those letters. So in Hebrew, the letters of shoes, it's the same letters of locked. And the letters of legs, it's the same letters of habits. Like how you walk with what habits. And so if you take the shoes, it means that she actually, it's a metaphor. She actually asked, do you want to take off what's locking you? Because it's the same letters, it's just a different, and the shoes that on your habits that's locking you.
Okay, and so the meaning, this is wonderful because the metaphor is lost on us who are not in Israel. This is, she's telling you to unlock the things that are holding you back and leave them behind. Is that the right understanding?
Yeah, she said, it's like she said, you have the opportunity to go back without those like things that holding you, locking you, mindful pattern that we all have in a different ways. So, but the beautiful thing is that I had a time that I was struggling with those locks on me, and I told to myself, "Oh, I was so stupid. Why I didn't say yes? I want to take off these shoes, and I was here without them." But then I asked myself, "Well, what part of me is saying that?" And the answer is that my body, not my soul, because my soul wants to experience and go through those places and to take the light from it. Even in the dark, there is light. There was a golden light there. So it's part of our experience not to run away, even from being sad. Go through that. It will make you much deeper, much understand people who had depression or people who feel sad. It will make you much more higher to connect to your soul. Don't run away. Just ask, what is my lesson from my soul? And don't get identified with the situation or the feelings, but try to be a spectator and to understand the lesson. And this is important. So my soul understood that, and she wanted to gain that. If you ask me, no, I'm saying that too, but you know, there is times.
I understand. You definitely mentioned that love is the greatest virtue. You've said that over and over, that the other side had a love beyond anything that you had experienced in this earth. And I know there's really probably not much of a way to describe it beyond that, but I wanted to go to something that is mentioned by many people in near-death experiences as the second greatest virtue, which is to learn and to have knowledge. And you've mentioned that because you wanted to take a little bit different direction in your life, or maybe a great difference in direction in your life. But it seems like your second virtue was more along the lines of service or help or interconnectedness or involved in people rather than just knowledge per se. Is that a fair statement? Help us understand. Beyond love, what else do you want to do? What else do you want to accomplish in life?
I want to be my essence, and I want to, like, for me, as when I was there and there was no option for me to come in back, now that I'm here, there is no option for me that in this circle of life that I'm here, I won't see the Geulah. Geulah in Hebrew, which means, first of all, the helping. I need help with the English. Help me, please. Redemption. Like, I want to see, but the redemption of the consciousness, because it's not outside. Everyone will get to this, and we will all live it as one, because living with this knowledge, and for the first years that I felt alone and I couldn't talk to anybody, and I felt, okay, I got back. I have like heart that wants to love everybody, but people don't understand this love, don't understand the meaning of love, and people are afraid to live. So how can I connect to people? So I want to see it in my eyes, but not only here in Israel. I want much more from this life than I want before. I want to see the oneness. I really want to see, and there is no option that I won't see it. So as a person, one soul, I can't do anything, because I know we are all connected. So now we are a group in Israel of islands, and I hope it will grow much more. So it's not what I will do in my life. It's also from where I will do, you know, because who it's what I learned from my experience is it's not what you do, it's who you are while you do that. You can help to someone like homeless in the street, give him money and didn't even see his eyes and ask him, do you need to talk to someone? I see you. Just let him feel that it's money. It's like, it's something that you can give. It's outside, but something from here. So it's from where you do what you do. And from where I do what I do now, it's not to saving people because I have the knowledge and it's all about me. Today, it's first of all, this is not my knowledge. This is yours. It's everybody knowledge, wisdom. This is God, the love of the wisdom of love. But I want to feel that together.
Beautiful. Craig, do you have questions? I don't want to take all of the time here with questions. If you have some that you would like to add here, Craig.
I have to unmute. So Hilla, you mentioned that you had lots of questions that were instantly answered. And it would take years to explain all those answers. However, what were those questions? I mean, I'm just curious to know what kind of questions did you have that were answered? Not necessarily what all the answers were, but what did you come back with so that someday in the future we might, kind of fish into what kind of information you're coming back with?
Okay, I will give one of the powerful insights that were very influenced on me. I grew not in a religious place, but it was like kind of, because they sent me to religious school. And I wasn't normal there because I had, since I was a child, I need to understand everything. Why? And I can't accept things as is, I need to understand. And in the religious school, I didn't feel that I am one of, I felt that I don't get the answers. I felt that what they teach me, that if I want to do this and this, God will punish me. So if I'm starting from a point that I'm already can't do everything is that writing in the Bible, so like, what can I do? God will punish me. And this is the God that you talk, that he is all good and goodness, like, and maybe this is what you taught. It didn't was like set on my heart, right? But on the other hand, my luck was that I had my grandpa who was in my NDX. He was very connected person. He was the truth, the holiness. He was a person that always looking for peace, make peace from people. If even there is a family that they want to divorce, he will help. Like, he was the essence of what he was, and he was religious. And if even that I wasn't, I knew that there is something right there. And when I was outside the body, all the questions that I have about punishment or gifts, like if you do this, you will have your place in the other world. Like, this is your price. And I thought to myself, like, if God is endless, limitless, is it possible that I'm doing with him a business? Like, I will do this, you will give me this, like, and this is the love that you talk about? Like, I don't understand. And it makes me much more confused and sad inside my heart, because only by look around me, look at the nature, as a child even, I felt that there is something which is bigger than me, but nobody can explain it. And what people explained to me just made me feel afraid that I'm not enough, I'm not good, and I will be punished. And what I found out, that punishment and all these like gifts, friend, compared to punishment, it's not like that. It's very shallow talking, like to talk like that. It's not the divine. The divine, even if we are feeling bad or not having the best experiences in our life, it's the feedback of the light to our tool. If I'm taking this glass and I'm taking, help me, mechabesh, I'm sorry.
Fire distinguisher.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And for this glass will explode. She can't contain this, you know what I mean? So if we are like feeling punishment, this is not right. It's all about the feedback of the light. When I was in the darkness world, people can say, well, you were punished. And no, I didn't punished. It was a learning process too. It was the feedback of the light to the tools that I got out with them. And my tools were opposite. The light couldn't go through me. So there was no punishment. It was just a level to make me lizdekech.
Purified.
To make me purified, to help me to go up. So this understood about it. It's all about feedback of the light to you. And I'm talking about it very shortly, but this is itself, it's huge. Because if you're talking about love, you can't say that God is a punisher. You can't say that.
You learn from the good as well as the bad, from the difficult times. As a matter of fact, maybe in this life, we learn the very most from the hardest, most difficult times. You said something fascinating during your experience about refusing to come back, and then you saw the future. And that finally convinced you to come back, but the future was taken away. You don't know what it is. I can't ask you to tell the future because it was taken away, but do you have any sense of why the future was taken away? Would that have somehow hindered your progress here or your ability to fulfill your life's purpose? Or why do you think you couldn't see the future anymore once you were back?
Yeah, well, the first day—
Or do you know? I
knew that I've been forgotten. It's like they said in Israel that before a child get birth, there is an angel who makes him like death, and this is the sign of the lips. And when he do that, he's like making forget all the Bible, all the Torah that he taught him during, sorry, he was in the womb. So I felt that this is what happened to me. I've been shown something, and I knew that they made it like to me to forget it. Like, so I thought to myself, okay, I will get back home when I was in the hospital, and I will pray because there is no way, like I am coming back. I know I have a purpose. I need to do something, and I don't know why, what? I don't know what, like I couldn't, I was very frustrated by that. Like, tell me what I need to do, what I'm doing here. And so think about yourself. If you will know everything you will go through, do you think you would like to go to this movie that you know how it will end, how it will start, it will be in the middle? Would you like to buy a ticket? I don't.
That makes sense. Craig, anything you'd like to ask?
Well, so your work with IONS in Israel, how do people receive the message of IONS in Israel? I mean, there might be some obstacles there that we don't experience here. How are you received over there?
Wow. I was very afraid actually going outside, because I thought that if I'm not very, very religious, people won't believe me, because here, like, clinic death related immediately to religious. And I know that there is a lot of religious, and they're all beautiful, but this is a tool for us. And so I felt that only because of the COVID-19, like, it pushed me to go out and talk about it, because I was afraid that now everybody in Israel will see me as crazy. And actually it was very good, because I felt that, like, I was going every day with a huge secret that is not mine. And, like, I'm coming to people as a metaphor, and I'm telling them I have the cure for the cancer, and I'm going to the sick people, and they say, no, I don't want to. And I said, so what am I going to do here? So we are trying to raise the awareness here. There is a lot of people who do, and they feel that they want to learn and know much more. And there is part of people that are afraid to know, because maybe it's connected for religious and they don't want to. And maybe there is people who feel that they don't want to even go there to think about it. And it's surprising for me also, because we're very developing in Israel with technology and everything. And about that area, we have a lot of work to do to raise the awareness. And it's step by step.
Step by step, line upon line.
Yeah.
Yes. Craig, anything else?
Well, Martin, I've had most of my questions answered. One of the things I would ask, if I were in Israel and I had an NDE, I would just wonder, did you get any clarity during your NDE about all of the religious contention in your region and how to address that?
My experience wasn't, it wasn't something about religious or something like that, even though that in the shore, in the room, there is a lot of details. There was a Bible that opened, and I'm not telling even the name of somebody from the Bible, some woman from the Bible that I told my grandpa what to do, and he told me her name, and I didn't know even that name. Only after years, I found out that she was kind of a teacher. And so, but there wasn't, think what I know today after my NDE, like in my heart, because my NDE wasn't religious, but in my heart today, I know that the Bible, it's supposed to be keys, and we need to listen and to feel a melody of love. And this is also from there, from the stories, you can find what is love. And we are, as a humanity, we're supposed to go through all those feelings. It's about feelings, like a poetry. And we need to find but we need to go out from a perception that he meant to love. So if you read that, or any religion, I think we need to ask how this is love, and to find the deep meaning. It's like, you know, it's like going to a play, and somebody is playing, and you're going to him and you're telling him, wow, when you played your C and D M chords, it was beautiful. but nobody go to the player in the symphony and tell him you played that chord beautiful. You felt the experience that he was, it took you go through this experience. But I think that we are use the Bible, the holy things that wrote for separation, and it's not for separation. And we're in times that everything needs to connect, the science, the spiritual, it's actually all one. The science make us to understand, wow, to make us to say the wow. We can see some, and to see, to learn so much and to understand how much we don't know. This is beautiful. So I think that we need to see the Bible or any religious as a way to love people, not to use. It's like I'm giving you a tool from wood. You can make it from that guitar, but you can make it a tool for war. You can choose whatever you want to do with that, but you can play with that. And if you can play it with a band, not alone, that's the purpose. We're supposed to be together, to play together.
Wonderful. Well,
that's great. And IANS would be kind of a neutral territory where those messages could be given to people.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time. We want to thank everyone who's been part of our Zoom meeting today to hear this wonderful presentation from Hila Baruch about her amazing near-death experience with all the wisdom that it has to share to us. Craig?
Thank you very much. I can echo Martin's sentiments. This is quite a privilege to hear you here. So with that, perhaps we should wrap it up, Martin.
We'll close the meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hila.
We will be in touch again soon.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye.